I know you're early, man, but I had, you know, I was talking earlier this morning about Blue Caprice. And this movie is this movie is phenomenal. And it was so important to have Isaiah here because I know that you guys are doing, like, you know, screenings and stuff around the country. But just to give everybody a little background on this movie, Blue Caprice, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what it's about?
Well, it's not what people may think it's about. It's not a autobiography of John Allen Muhammad himself. It's a narrative based on true events.
Right.
But I just watched a clip this morning at another interview, and it dawned on me that it's really a story about a very toxic father and son relationship.
Right.
And obviously all the horrific events that take place that we think we know, they only take place toward the last maybe 7 or 10 minutes of the film. But up to that point, you're really just looking at Alexander Morris's idea of how the boy was psychologically trained and conditioned and spurned on to do these very horrific things that we all know, what we do know about.
And there's a lot of people that are not familiar. I mean, here's one thing. This movie's about the DC sniper. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that tripped me out is, like, because it was such a horrific event, I forgot a lot of things.
Sure.
And watching the performance of, he pronounced his name Taquan?
Taquan.
Oh, Taquan, he was fabulous. I
was like, fabulous. Wow, I do remember that. I remember, because a lot of us lived in this area when, you know, John Muhammad was going around and Taquan, well, the
terrorizing. Taquan,
terrorizing. And it's something that you try to block, but you gave the story such humility. You know, it made me see why John Muhammad was driven to do what he did. You know, to basically, you know, brainwash this young man. You know, I don't know if that's how you saw it, but
no, I mean, that was the only way I could get through it. Was if I had to find the humanity in it, or it wasn't going to work, it was going to fail.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew from the beginning that it was going to be a 50-50 chance of success or failure. I mean, you know, it's the same as the character that, you know, you and I engaged on in The Under Shepherd. It's
like,
this is going to work or it's going to fail.
Yeah.
It's going to make an impact because, you know, if I can't humanize the character, although I had many biases, I had many challenges, you know, with your piece, and I had many challenges with this piece, but that's why I did them, because they scared me. And I've been doing this a long time, so it's like, what do you do that's going to get those, your blood churning, and what can I do? How can I climb this particular mountain artistically? And that's the thing that I was looking at, is that hopefully by the time people will leave the theater watching Blue Caprice, hopefully they'll be in conflict with themselves.
Yeah.
Because they have to deal with the humanity that they saw.
Yeah. Had you followed the story before reading the script? Had you, I mean, everybody in the country, I guess, was familiar with it, but were you, you know, us living here in DC, we're very familiar with it. Had you followed the story before you read the script?
I remember, yes, I do remember where I was. In 2002, when all this was happening, actually in the beginning of October, it was crazy. But I was like everyone else. I was watching the news, and then I think I grew tired of it because I'm like, oh, it's just some white man, you know, driving around in a white van.
That's what everybody thought. Yeah.
And I turned the television off. I was like, you know, God, you know, you know, oh God, here we go again, Bundy. Kind of Jeffrey Dahmer-esque, here we go again.
Right.
How unfortunate.
We were so shocked.
And how sad. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, my neighbors were out of town, and I was checking their mail. We were all living in this big condominium building, and I was getting their mail. And on the floor, there was a Newsweek that was folded in half, and I saw, you know, oh, this is like a handsome African-American man. And I'm like, who is this? I thought it was an actor or something on this.
Right.
Then I opened it. And
it's like, wow.
I remember it like yesterday.
You know,
these were the snipers, and wow. Like what? And then everything I'm just like reading the page by page.
Here's what happened for me, after watching Blue Caprice. And listen, folks, I highly recommend you see this film, just not for the performances, but just how it will move you. Because, you know, nowadays you got comedians cracking jokes about how we used to have to hide behind cars and we're ducking and moving. You know, during that time, that was so true.
Yeah.
If I would go to a gas station, I'm constantly moving. And I just thought the way it was so beautifully shot, and it's not gory. I just want people to understand you're not going to see something and go like, oh, wow, you know, blood splattering everywhere and stuff like that. That's not what this is. This is an artistic piece.
It's a slow burn.
Yes. And you watch the gradual relationship and how it changes the dynamics between a father and his son. Mm-hmm. And you can take, if you remove the sniper aspect of it, there's a story right there in itself. Sure. You know, but I think for a lot of people, especially the people that lived this and saw it, because one minute we're looking for a white van.
Right.
The next minute, we never knew it was a Blue Caprice until like the very, very end.
And in the beginning, actually on the news, it was crazy because one guy actually said, I saw a Blue Caprice.
Several people. So they ignored it.
Yeah, they did.
Now, the movie, is it being released nationally or is it a limited release? How they're doing this?
It's limited release, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, that either the 20th or the 27th, it'll definitely be in D.C. and Maryland. Mm-hmm. But it opens just in one city, at the IFC New York, September
13th. Wow. Well, you know, listen, I want everybody, hang out with us for a minute here, because I want everybody to get an opportunity to digest this movie, because is it a private screening in D.C.? Is that what's going on?
Tonight, yes. Like, Dave is looking at you like, yeah, psh. Mom's the word. It's private. Way to go, dude.
Okay.
Tell everybody.
I wish I could just tell everybody to go down and check this out.
Right.
But, I mean, you guys can Google Blue Caprice or whatever. This movie has won a lot of awards. Went to Sundance and just highly acclaimed film. And look, you know, I can sit up here and stroke Isaiah Washington all day, but
careful.
Yeah. But,
wow.
But I think the big thing is that the performance is that you allow, not that you allowed, because you're so familiar with your craft and what you do, you let Taquan shine.
Absolutely.
That is so unselfish of you, because, I mean, and you've done that with film we worked on. I mean, you will let people have their moment. And if that did not happen, I don't know if that movie would have been as impactful to me. That, I'm just keeping it real.
No, well, you know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, I'm this incarnation, I'm working very hard to brand myself as a producer and be taken seriously.
Right.
Or a producer that acts. And this was Taquan's story. This was the story about Lee.
Right.
Boyd. In the film, and I always said, you know, every other day I would say, you know, if you know, Alexander doesn't get this right in the editing room, you know, if I'm here for you, man,
right?
So you better go bring home the Oscar, nom or something, you know,
right.
Or I've wasted a lot of time, your time, yeah, and I still say that, and he throws it right back at me, and they're like, no, I was following you. I'm like, no, I was following you.
Right. And you know who else was really good?
It was really wonderful.
The white couple in the film, I thought were very engaged. I mean, I don't remember the names of the character.
Lauren Adams, and that would be the great Tim Blake Nelson.
See, I did not know that relationship went down with John Muhammad, you know.
The story, if we were to do, or someone does a story on him, it would be a 4-hour film, believe it or not. I mean, this man was completely illiterate. He was served 9 years in the military and was illiterate.
Wow. Really?
Yes. That speaks to his level of genius, if I dare say.
Yeah.
He had never, according to him, he had never experienced racism until he got into the military. And at that point, he threw an incendiary bomb into the tent because he felt they were treating him poorly. Mm. He was an orphan, growing up in the state of Louisiana. And this is all in the book, which is a really a wonderful read. You probably should read if you really want to get into.
Which would probably explain his obsession with
Scared Silent.
Being with his children. Mm-hmm. Which kind of drove this whole train.
Well, he wasn't, according to Mildred Muhammad, he obviously wasn't a perfect husband. There was many infidelities. According to her, I read her book. That was something that Alexander Morris insisted upon. That and Fyodor Dostoevsky's book, Notes from the Underground, those two books were essentially my only research. Mm-hmm. But I think I took a lot away from her book in terms of just looking at what I could hold on to get me over my biases and my disappointment and my anger towards the real man, and put myself in those shoes to get through it. But yeah, it you know, this man, he was very complex.
Yeah.
And pretty much lived in Tacoma, Washington. He was kind of one of those brothers that had a very diverse group. Probably like if you and I showed up, he would look at us and, you know, like, you know, he was probably the only African American in the room for years. We know the type. And I don't think he really judged or looked anyone for their ethnicity, or he's just one of those guys that kind of in his mind walked through that and was frustrated because he couldn't become part of Special Forces. He trained. He was a health nut. 100 push-ups a day. It was all about trying to be a G.I. Joe.
But Isaiah, let me...
It never happened.
Let me step in real quick because... And tell me if I'm wrong. I just thought he was a coward.
Exactly.
I thought he was he had this little young boy. He took his mind. Now, this young boy is in prison for the rest of his life.
That's right.
He took this man's mind, this young boy's mind. And I just thought... What a cowardly act. You didn't do this yourself. You put somebody else up to it.
That's right.
Okay. I'm not wrong. Because that bothered me.
No. And
it really bothered me.
I said it, you know, I had never been asked to, you know, you don't, the average actor is never asked to play a coward. It's like, hey, I got this great role for you. You're a coward. You're a low life coward. Oh, whoa. How do I make that look?
Right.
You know, I kept messing the movie up because I was trying to be Matt Damon and Born Identity, you know? You know, looking at like the security cameras. He's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, looking at that security camera. He says, no, you're not. He's a coward. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, well, that's what I took from it, man. Listen, this movie would invoke so many different emotions. Yeah. And like I said, you don't have to be in this area and deal with that in order for this movie to touch you in so many ways. Isaiah, I really appreciate you swinging through, man. It's, you know, it's always great to talk with you and see you. You know, and I know you got something else you're coming up with, right? Is it okay to talk about it? Or maybe not.
Oh, I thought you were talking about for today.
Your next film.
Oh, the next film? Yeah, I could say it. I can't tell you exactly who all's in it, but I can tell you who the director-writer is, Patrick Ian Polk. He's fantastic. You may know him from Noah's Ark. Won many awards from GLAAD Award. He says on his Twitter thing that he's the love child. If it were true, he would be the love child of Woody Allen and Spike Lee.
Right, he sounds like he's a nut.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we're doing a movie with him called Blackbird that's going to make a lot of noise as well. All right.
So your day-to-day, you're going around doing a lot of...
yes, sir.
Okay, a lot of media and online.
Is there some place people can go and find out when it's opening, find out more information about Blue Caprice or like a website?
I think Facebook? It's on... isn't it IFC or on iTunes? What is that?
Trailers on iTunes, and you can go to IFC.com too.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. That's
cool
right.
beans.
That's right.
Blue Caprice cool. is the name of the movie, and I wanted Isaiah to come in. I wanted to talk to him about this because I think it's a very significant piece of work, and you'll be doing yourself a favor to watch it, you know, and make sure that when it comes to your city that you support it because these are the kind of films that are not always going to get the big budgets and the big promotional machine behind it, but we got to do our part because if we go watch films like these, then we'll get more of them, and that's what we want. Isaiah, thank you, man.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. Isaiah Washington hanging out with us this morning.
Yes.
Thank you.
Blue Caprice. Make sure you guys check it out.